Thank you for that beautiful song. That one's been around a long time, but it's still a good song, great message in it. I appreciate the opportunity. I said it this morning, I say it again, to be able to preach here. My wife reminded me today I get to do it two or three times a year at this church. But anyway, I'm glad that I get this opportunity. And believe you me that a lot of churches, when the former pastor's around, they don't get that opportunity. In fact, they don't get to stay around. But I'm glad that Dr. Barber's still here, and I'm still here so far. And 22 years has gone pretty fast. I miss our pastor when he's not here, don't you? That's just the way it ought to be. Shepherd and the sheep. And I remember people used to fuss if I was gone, and I'd say, what's going on there? Now I'm out there, and when the pastor's gone, I'm like, where is he? He belongs here. He's supposed to be preaching to us. I miss him when he's not here. And so he's out preaching tonight. And I hope you're ready for some cake after a while. And just because it's my anniversary does not mean I'll cut my message short. But Anna said to me a while back, she said, Dr. Weaver, I'm glad that we're having your anniversary. And I said, well, good. She said, and you always have cake. And I want some cake. Something like that. You know, that's close. And so anyway, we'll have some cake after a while, Anna, and we'll enjoy it and thank the Lord for it. Well, somebody would say maybe this morning, why did you preach on hell? Why couldn't you have brought a sweeter, kinder message? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, hell is in the Bible. And number two, God told me to preach on it. All right? So if that answers any questions that you might have had. But tonight I want to flip-flop and go to what I think is one of the sweetest verses in the Bible. That's the title of the message, the sweetest verse in the Bible. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. And find your place, and we'll look at this verse. And then I want to add some to it there because it actually completes it. It really is not complete until in the original language until you get through verse 2 of chapter 5. That's the way it reads. And so verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another. I could just stop right there and give an invitation, couldn't I? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Stop and give another invitation right there. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, going on to the next two verses, it really belong in that chapter division as it was in the original or in the Greek. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore, and the therefore is there for a reason, going back to verse 32, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You see, God is saying here that the love that we should have, he is pleased with, and it should be like a sacrifice and the incense of that sacrifice going up. That's what he's talking about in verse 2 of chapter 5, that it should be a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, there's some things God likes. And in the language that we understand, he's saying, this pleases me. And all of us should want to please God if we're saved. And so we should do that. Now, we are children of God's and we are loved. He reminds us that we are his dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That word dear there is a very strong word, again, in the original language, and it reads agape children, the great love of God. We are loved by God. We are his children tonight. If you belong to God, you're loved by God, you're his child. And we need to remember that. We need to always understand that He loves us and we are children of God. 1 John 4:8 says, God is what? Love. God is love, and God loves me, and God loves you. Isn't it sad that some children aren't loved? Some children aren't wanted. Some children are left somewhere in a park, and mama didn't want the child, or we're in problems. Or somebody just dumped them off somewhere and gave them to somebody else. Or worse yet, they don't want them, so they abort them, they kill them. And even after they're born, they kill them. They don't want them. Isn't that sad? I cannot imagine. I can't wrap my heart or brain around somebody that wouldn't love their children and want their children. My mother might have been one exception when she got me, but at any rate, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine somebody not loving their children. And so we're loved. I'm glad we're loved by God. He wants us. We are precious to God. He loves us tonight, and He wants to show that love to us. And I'm glad that He does. He even prays for us. He's doing some of that right now. But here's what He urges us to do in chapter 5, verse 1, and that is to be like our Father. We know God is love. God loves us. We're His children. Then He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow God. Christians ought to follow God. Amen. As dear children, He says, we ought to follow God. And the word there is mimetai. And that's a Greek word. It's simply, we have the English word like it, mimic. We should mimic God. We should follow God. He is our Father. He loves, and we should follow Him. We should love like Him. And so we ought to mimic our Father. We should be copies of God. We should be reproduced like God wants us to be reproduced. And by the way, His name is called Wonderful. Are you wonderful tonight? We ought to be like Jesus. We ought to be like God. We ought to be wonderful in our love for the glory of God, and we should mimic our Father. Sons of Eli did not mimic Eli. The sons of Samuel did not mimic Samuel. They weren't like their father. Absalom certainly was not like his father David. He didn't mimic his father. That's not the way God planned it. These did not mimic their father. But let me tell you somebody who did, the Lord Jesus Christ. He mimics his father. He did what his father wanted, and Jesus did what God wanted him to do. And what is God like? Look at Jesus. There's the Father. Here's Jesus. He's mimicking the Father. If you want to know what the Father's like, look at Jesus, because He is mimicking the Father. And that's what God is like. God is kind. God is sympathetic. Aren't you glad? God is forgiving. We know that. Verse 32 in chapter 4, forgiving one another. Be ye kind and tenderhearted, like Christ, for Christ. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. He has forgiven us. And so we're to be like Him. I don't know of any greater achievement for us in the Christian life than for us to be like Jesus, to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told to do that. Mimic Him. Be like Him. Are you like Him tonight? Are you sure you're like Him? Are we like Him? So we look at the kindness of God. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God just go in and destroy the wicked people? Why doesn't He destroy them? They're mean, they're cruel. Why doesn't God just reach down and destroy them? And do it right now. Do you ever feel that way about it? Why didn't God do that? Because God is love. And I'm not saying God is not a God of wrath and judgment. You heard that this morning. But I'm telling you that God is a God of love, and He is going to be patient, far more patient with those people than you and I would. They're bloodbaths all around the world tonight of evil, wicked, sorry, terrible people. I mean, they're people who are of different religions who are taking off the heads of Christians. And that's probably happening somewhere on the world scene right now while I'm standing here in the comfort of this church preaching to you. Mean, cruel people. There are people all over the place, and you're thinking of a lot of them in your own mind who they were. Violent, blood-spilling people, evil men. But listen to this statement, and I believe it's true. The love of God, the love of God, the love of God is greater than the measurement of man's mind. We cannot understand totally the love of God. It is greater than man can measure with his mind, the measurement of the mind. You see, God is merciful. And doesn't he let the sun shine on the just and the unjust? And he says, I even let it rain on the crops of the wicked men and on the crops of the good men, those who try to live for me. God is a merciful God. And Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. I'm glad he's long-suffering. Long-suffering to us. Listen to these words. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. God didn't predestinate so many in hell and so many in heaven. The heart of God is right here. He is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. In Ezekiel, I quoted him this morning, he said that God gets no pleasure out of the death of the wicked. He gets no pleasure out of it. Why does God do that? That's God's nature. God is a long-suffering God of love. We're to be like our Father. We're to be like Him. We are to mimic Him. Why does God also allow tough things to come in our life for us to bear? Is it because He doesn't like us? Does He allow the trials and troubles of life to come our way because He hates us and He doesn't love us and He wants to do something mean to us? Not at all. That's not the nature of Almighty God. God does not do that. God has a reason for the trials we have and the problems we have tonight. You say, if He's a God of love, why do I go through this? God knows what He's doing. Amen? Look at the life of Joseph. Look at what happened to him. And his brothers sold him out. And look what happened to him after that. And he got lied on. And he got thrown into prison. And all of those things. And I would wonder, Joseph might be thinking, God, do you love me? And if he had asked him, God would have said, yeah, Joseph, I know what I'm doing. I know why I've let this happen to you and happen in your life. He knows that. Moses had a problem. He was exiled. He was on the backside of the desert. God, why did this happen? I killed somebody that was hurting a Jew and all of that. Why did you let that happen to me? I don't know that he wondered that. He may have wondered that. But there he was. But God said, I'm preparing you. I'm getting you ready to lead a people out of bondage. Maybe he did not understand that. Paul was often in prison. And do you know the book I'm reading from tonight, the book we're preaching from, is one that he wrote from prison? It's one he wrote from prison. If he hadn't been in prison, we probably wouldn't have Ephesians 4:32 or Ephesians 5:1. But he was in prison. God let him be in prison. And he wrote what God inspired him. And I'm not talking about inspiration like Plato or something like that, or Shakespeare. But he inspired him without any error to write what he wrote and those letters delivered to the churches, the Pauline epistles. What about John? How would you like to be exiled on an isle called Patmos? If you've ever seen that on some of the, they have so much you can pull it up now and look at it. A rugged, rocky place where he was abandoned to that place. But thank God we have the book of Revelation. Amen. If that hadn't happened to him, we wouldn't know where we're going. We would know what eschatology is. We would know what's going to happen in the end time. But God allowed it to happen. And you have children, some of you still at home. And you say to little Johnny, Johnny, get your homework done. He looks at you sort of funny, and you check back on him a little bit. I said, you better get your homework done. If you don't, you're going to get a whipping. And Johnny, hopefully, goes ahead and starts working on his homework. Now, did you fuss at him and tell him he had to do it because you loved him or because you hated him? You did it because you loved him, because you want him to succeed. You want him to get an education. It means that you love him. And God is like that with us. We are his children, children of his love. And so God is kind and good to us, but sometimes he allows some things in our lives, and we say, I don't understand that, God, but I'm telling you, God loves you. You're his child. He loves you, and he wants us to mimic his love. Then what about the kindness of Christ? The kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of significant times, I guess, in history that I would like to have been around. Perhaps you study history and study some things that took place. Alexander the Great, all of his victories and everything that took place in his life. I wouldn't mind to have been around during that time a little bit just to see what happened to him and what took place back in that time. Most of you, some of you like history, some do not, but I like it. I wish I had more time to read just history. But we know that Waterloo was there, and the Iron Duke of Wellington, during the time of Napoleon, came in and he was defeated and all the problems that took place. I'd like to have been around to see some of that. But I'd thousand times find more meaning in just observing in this book the life of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest studies you'll ever have is just to sit down and study the life of Christ. What he did, how he did it, when he did it, the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to see him when he was with little children. You know he loved little children? And can't you just see Jesus with a little child sitting on his lap? And they're saying, oh, you kids don't bother Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. I love little children. I love little children. I can see him doing that. And I can see him, a leper's coming down the street. And as that leper's coming down the street, brother, around him is a big circle and there's nobody around him, because leprosy was taboo. And he had to cry out, unclean, unclean, and wear a handkerchief over his face, something of that nature. And he would walk down through there. And here he comes, an outcast in his society of that day, and nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody wanted to give them any sympathy. And here's Jesus. What does he do? He walks right up to him. And then thank God he healed him. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his love. There was a weeping widow who was crying because her son had died. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his love and mercy, came to her aid and raised her son from the dead. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. There was a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. I like to call him Blind Barty. And Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see, and he was saying, hollering and crying out for Jesus, and the guys were saying, get back, he's busy, he doesn't have time for you. And Jesus just walked right over to him and said, oh yeah, I've got time for him. Could we learn some lessons from that maybe? Oh yeah, I've got time for him. And he healed Blind Bartimaeus. When they were the people that needed to be fed, they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Jesus said, look, I'll take care of that. I love people, and I'm going to feed all of them. So he took the loaves and the fish, and he fed all of them. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him when he's on the cross, dying. We're thinking about Easter coming up. Jesus is on the cross, dying. Is he screaming and hollering, this is not fair? Nobody should be doing this to me. What's wrong with y'all? No, he takes time out and he says to John, John, while he's on the cross, behold your mother. And he said to his mother, behold your son. He was so compassionate and so loving, he made sure that his mother was taken care of while he was dying on the cross of Calvary. And when they were spitting in his face and beating him, and they put him on the cross, and one of the malefactors there absolutely just detested Jesus and what he stood for at that time and rejected him, the Lord Jesus, for all of them, cried out, what? Kill him. That's what a good Baptist would have done. Jesus said, Father, can you hear him in his tenderness? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow, is that love or is that love? That's the love of Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's still up there in glory right now praying for us. He's still praying there. Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God we have a high priest. Jesus is still loving us from the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us tonight. I don't know how he does that for everybody, but I'll let him take care of that. He said he did, and I believe he does. And he's making intercession for us. But what about the kindness of God and the kindness of his people? And what did he tell us to do? Be followers of God. As loved children, as dear children, be followers of God. So the kindness of God's people. And that's what he's saying in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. You say, well, you don't have to preach it in a Baptist church. Are you kidding me? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Here it is, listen, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind and be forgiving. Chew on that a little bit. We need that. We need it, the kindness. We just need to be kind to people. You know that? There's a great preacher, you remember, in the preaching history by the name of Gypsy Smith. What a lot of people don't know, there's one day Ira Sankey came by and put his hand on the little boy's head, Gypsy Smith, and said something like this. I'm not quoting exact words. He said, hey, young man, I believe you'll be a great preacher someday, and God can use you. Just a little time, just a little kind word to a little scrubby-haired boy, and boy, did Gypsy Smith ever become a great preacher. Some of you in this day and age don't even know who we're talking about, but Gypsy Smith, study a biography about him and see what God did with him. And so we need to be kind, the kindness of God's people. We're to be like God. And if I can back up a little bit, he says we're not to grieve, verse 30, the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you understand that it's not a good thing to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? That's like equal to grieving Jesus. That's equal to grieving the Father. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Watch this. Let all bitterness, some of it, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why? Be ye kind one to another, because God forgave you. You ought to forgive other people, and you ought to get over it. Whatever it is, get over it, my friend. And I can tell you that blesses the church. People don't get saved so much because of theology, being accurate in theology, not even maybe sometimes because of preaching. They don't come in here and look at the windows and the carpet and the pews and the decor of this place and say, I believe I want to get saved. I mean, there's some places worth millions of dollars more than ours. They don't even preach the gospel. They're some kind of temple. But you know what does more good than anything else? And I believe we ought to preach theology and we ought to preach the word and all of that. But I'm telling you what will do probably more than doctrinal truth will not be our budget, will not be the numbers we have, will not be all of those things, but it will be the love that we have, that we are a family and that we love each other and that we love other people, that we love them. We really, really care about them. We're not just playing church. We're not just playing games. We really care about those people. And sometimes people say, the reason I got saved, maybe they come forward and you preach and you think, well, I preached a good message maybe, and they're coming because I preached a good message. And you say, you're coming to be saved. Yes. Well, that's good. And then they'll say something like this. It was a family in your church that did a good deed, a family in your church that helped us out. It was somebody that came by and told us about the Lord. It was somebody that loved us. It was somebody that was kind to us. It was one person from your church that did that. These are things that are important. And I believe more people are won by love and kindness. I'm not saying abandon our theology and our doctrinal positions, but I'm saying on top of all of that, we need love, and we need to love people and win people to Jesus Christ by loving them. And if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit will use you. And I want to emphasize as we close out this message this, there's not a person in this room that should have a grudge against anybody else or be bitter against anybody else, because that's not doing like your Father. That's not living like our Father. You heard what He said. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. Is there anybody in this building right now that you haven't forgiven? You need to get it right tonight before you leave the building. And I want to tell you, unforgiveness and bitterness is like a chemical acid in your stomach and in your body and in your mind and on your emotions. It will do more damage to you than it will anybody else. You need to get over it. You need to drop anger. You need to love like the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to forgive like He forgave us. Aren't you glad tonight that He's forgiven you of what you've done? I know what I've done all my life. You say, what, preacher? None of your business. Like yours is none of my business. But I can tell you one thing. I can testify to this. I'm thankful God has forgiven me. I promise you, I'm thankful God has forgiven me. And He says we ought to love one another. Like, you know, people talk about our church and they say, you know, that's a loving church, and we just feel the warmth of God there and a good spirit of love. Isn't that good? Thank God when people say that. And they say that about our staff, the camaraderie they have. One exception, but the camaraderie that they have with the staff. Not the exception at all. All of that. That's not accidental, my friend. That's because we do what God says in the Word of God, and that we want God to get the glory, and we're to love people. Be ye kind one to another. And if you have sin in your life, and if you have bitterness and wrath and anger, verse 31, and it makes you clamor and talk and evil speaking, put all of that away with all malice. With all malice. God tells us, Jesus is like our Father. Our Father's tender, merciful, kind, gracious. He is so loving and kind. And then Jesus mimics His Father. He's just like the Father. You want to see what the Father is? Study the life of Christ. And He says to us tonight, not maybe think about this, but be ye therefore followers of God as His dear children that He loves. That's what we ought to do. Amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and if you're here without Christ tonight, I can promise you right now that I don't care what you've done, where you've been, God loves you. God loves you. I don't care what you've done, God will forgive you. Doesn't matter. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. If you'll come to Him, God is love. Can we not understand that we need to love more people? It's love that makes a difference. And we need to deal with any kind of bad feelings. We need to deal with anything that makes us not act like we're a child of God's. We are to reflect our Heavenly Father. May God speak to your heart tonight about anything, any situation in your life like that. And God loves people. Why don't you come and pray for some of them tonight and ask God to help them? If you don't like what they did, come pray for them tonight and tell God you're forgiving them and let God take care of it. Father, thank you for the instruction of your word. Help us to be wise enough to not forget this, to take it out of this building with us, And Lord, help us as your children who are loved by you to love others, to love each other, to be patient and long-suffering and kind, even as you are with us. And oh God, help us to have a happy, rejoicing church where the love of God, your love, is sensed, is seen, and experienced here every service and every time we meet. God, help us to forgive. All of us have had people who have hurt us, done things we didn't like, maybe the children, maybe relatives, maybe somebody else in the church. God, no matter what, help us to be like Jesus and to have the heart of Jesus and forgive because of love. In his name we pray, amen. While we sing, God has spoken to your heart tonight. You come. Would you do it?